And chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews is all about faith. It's basically a history of the Old Testament, and it's talking about the various, what you might call the heroes of the Old Testament, and emphasizing their faith in God, and that is why we consider them to be our heroes, that they were willing to actually listen to God and to believe what he actually said to them. And it's well worth reading the whole chapter when you go home. It doesn't take too long, and it's a good way of boning up on the history of the Old Testament. But today, if you hear politicians, sometimes they speak about people of faith, and they speak about people of no faith. Have you heard that expression, people of no faith? A way of expressing those who are not, quote, religious. But if you think about it just for a minute, you realize that all human beings live by faith. It's absolutely essential that we have faith. The question is not whether we got faith or not, it's the question is who or what we put our faith into. And that's what distinguishes us as Christians. It's not that we have more faith or different faith than other people, it's just that we've chosen to put our faith in the God we worship, in Jesus, his Son, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's worth thinking about faith just for a bit. And I believe there are three areas where God is happy for us to have faith. And the first of those, if you think about it just for a moment, is we have faith in the physical laws of the universe. Now, when each of you came down and sat on those pews, you didn't think about it too much, did you? You presumed those pews were going to hold your weight. But it's only due to the way that the molecules of the wood that the pews are composed of actually fit together. And the way that they hold together means that the wood can actually hold you. And in fact, if you study the physics and the chemistry of the biology of the world around us, you realize actually that the world is incredibly well designed for us to be here. There's a famous physicist who quoted these words: "The more I examine the universe and the details of its architecture, the more evidence I find that the universe, in some sense, must have known that we were coming." It's actually what's called the anthropic principle. I don't know if you've ever heard that term. It's not just an idea. It's the realization that the universe is actually very finely tuned for us to exist. It's incredibly finely tuned, much more finely tuned than any human being, any musicians could tune an instrument. The article that I put in there in the Grapevine is written by a man called Hugh Ross, who I met some years ago, and a colleague of his came and spoke for us when I was in Shrewsbury. He is part of an organization called Reasons to Believe. And basically, they're a group of scientists that look at what's going on in science and see the connections between that and what's actually written in the Bible. They're not just interested in whether that there's a creator out there, but they're looking to see where the universe actually lines up with the God that we read about in the Bible. And again and again and again, they find these connections. And one of them is just in that article there. And don't worry about reading it. If it doesn't make sense, don't worry. But it's an interesting one for if you're interested in science. What it's about actually is that as they look out into the universe, they're actually looking back in time. And you can actually check to see whether the constants, the way the universe works, is the same here as it is billions of light years away. And of course, that's also billions of years in the past. And they find that the universe is constant, that it doesn't change, that it kind of reflects the nature of the Creator as far as we understand as Christians, that the fact that God doesn't change is reflected in the nature of the universe that he's created, that it doesn't actually change. And there's all sorts of really interesting things. If you're interested in that, please do have a word with me, because I can point you to all sorts of other things. It's worth looking at the website that's there. It's www.reasons.org, and there's lots of information there about how the universe is knows that we were coming, as Mr. Dyson put it. But coming back to faith then, there's nothing wrong. In fact, we have to live by having faith in that the universe will work the way it has worked for billions of years and will continue to work, perhaps until Jesus comes, and we don't know when that's going to be. So that's the first place where it's quite right to have faith. The second place is that we need to have faith in each other. Human society only works that if we can trust and have faith in each other. I was reflecting on this going on the trains in London with our granddaughter, and you'll meet all sorts of strangers, don't you, as you travel on public transport. And in general, we trust them, at least we trust them to the extent that we don't think they're going to harm us and that we feel relatively safe mingling among them. Obviously, we put much more trust and faith in those around us, particularly those who are close to us. And those of us who are perhaps part of a church family or in some other community, we actually put more faith in. So there are kind of levels of faith that we put into each other as human beings. But human society would not work unless we can put our faith in each other. And we live in a really nice society, a very pleasant place to live, don't we? Because we can, in general, put faith in each other. If you live in a society where faith has broken down because people can't trust each other, that's not a nice place to live. So that's the second place that God, I believe, is very happy for us to put our faith in. And the third place, of course, is in Him. And in many ways, we can actually take our faith, the faith that we put in the universe and the faith that we put in each other, to help us to understand how we need to have faith in God. Because God is a person, God is personal, so we have faith in Him as a person. But also we know that He's totally reliable. So we can trust Him the same way that we trust in the physical laws of the universe. But our faith in Him needs to be personal. Our faith in God is not so much in a thing, it's not in a thing, it's not in an idea, it's not in a concept. It's actually in God as person. And I believe that's one of the reasons that God revealed Himself as Jesus. He gave us the opportunity to put our faith in a person in a similar way to the way we put our faith in other people. And that's the way the Christian faith is meant to work. That we have this personal faith in God, and in particular in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't believe that God is very happy when we start to put our faith in other things that are not, if you like, part of the physical universe, are not to do with each other. For example, people sometimes put faith in all sorts of strange things. For example, in superstitions. Touching wood, which people do quite a lot today, as all the way through my life, is not really a good thing to do. Because what it means is you're putting your faith in doing something that has no connection to the way the physical universe works. That you're putting faith into, you're actually putting your faith in something that is not real. Things like sort of pseudoscience things, like horoscopes and homeopathy and things like that, are also, I think, not a good thing to put your faith in. I believe actually us as human beings, we only have a certain amount of faith available to us, okay? And we need to be careful where we put it. I mean, obviously, politicians, we have to somewhat put some faith in when we vote for them. But we all know that that's somewhat limited because we know that they let us down. So we do actually need to, we can and we do need to actually choose where we place our faith. And I believe it's really important that we preserve that, the majority of our faith, to put that in the person of Jesus. Let me give you an illustration of what it means to have a personal faith. I don't know if you've seen a program on the television. It used to be on BBC Two, but I think it's on Channel 4 now, called Don't Tell the Bride. Who's actually seen that program? No, not great reality. It's a very interesting program. It's one of these reality programs. What they do is that they take a couple and they say to them, we'll give you, I think it's £12,000 if you go through this process. They take couples who are intending to get married, and they say to the bride, if you let us, if you let your fiancé, the groom, do all the planning for the wedding. So they're actually saying to the bride, give up any control that you have in how your wedding is going to be conducted, and let your groom, your future husband, have complete control over this. Now this actually means, if you think about it, is that the bride has to put her faith in her future husband as a person. She's not allowed to make conditions. She's not allowed to tell him that he can only do this, or he can only do that, or she's going to have this kind of dress, or they're going to get married in this particular place. She has to leave it completely up to him. And can you see, it's a wonderful illustration of what it means to put your faith in a person. Now, they obviously filmed this, and I remember one particular one, very interesting, where the groom decided he wanted to get married on the pitch of Stoke City football ground at half time. And the people at the Britannia Stadium, which I know in Stoke-on-Trent, said okay. And so they filmed this of the bride coming to the stadium, not knowing at all what was going to happen, and being taken onto the pitch at half time, and someone conducting the wedding actually on the pitch. She wasn't allowed to wear high heels, obviously, on the pitch. So she had to get married in football boots, but she did have a proper dress. But that was an illustration. In the end, she was quite happy. I don't know what happened if the bride really doesn't want it to. You probably don't see those ones on the television, do you? But hang on to that thought, though, that here's a woman putting her faith in a man for her special day, and having enough faith to let him have his way. And that's the way I believe that God wants us to put our faith in him. We don't know everything about God. It's good to study, and that's what we're doing in church. We study about God. We try and understand as much as we can about him. We look particularly at the life of Jesus to help us to get a grasp on what God is like. But in the end, he asks us to simply put our faith in him as a person, to say to him, Lord, I trust you with my life. I trust you not just with my life, but with my eternal life. And I know that if I'm willing to give you that trust, then you will take me from this life through death, through resurrection, to the life to come. And in many senses, that's all that he asks of us. And that's something we really need to grab hold of. So do be careful where you place your faith, okay? It's not worth placing it in other things if they don't actually correspond to the way the universe works and the way we know it works, and don't correspond to people around us. But do put your faith in our Heavenly Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.